So welcome back. We are waiting for the big reveal. What is Ministry Biz? Now some of you went ahead. you know who you are, but the rest of us are waiting for the big reveal.
So let's ease into it with a few questions, all right?
Okay.
So what is Ministry Biz? What is ministry? Let's just start with that. Because obviously this is a hyphenated word, Ministry Biz. So what is ministry, Henry?
Ministry, as I think still a large majority of people would think about it, as a career job in ministry, a paid position at a church, maybe being a pastor at a church, maybe be on staff in a ministry somewhere, but it's commonly thought of as you get a ministry job.
So it's a paid position, often full-time, maybe sometimes part-time. Mm-hmm. But at Christian Leaders Institute, we have a different view of what ministry is.
Right. Ministry comes from the word diakonos, which means to serve, to minister. Mm-hmm. It includes every believer. All Christian leaders, at their very heart, are ministers.
Right.
So that we see it as for the volunteer, the part-time, and the career as a big, overarching, philosophic worldview. It's who we are.
Right. But in general, I mean, at least historically, being in the ministry usually was a full-time thing.
All right.
So that's a little bit of what ministry is. Well, what is business then?
Everything else.
I mean, that's probably how people think of it.
Yeah. Like, you know, when we were pastors in a church, there's the minister and then the people in the secular world.
Right. So the minister makes his living by doing the ministry, and everybody else makes their living doing business.
Right. And there are some passages in the Bible, like the worker is worth his hire, and then the minister works for the ministry.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we have these two pieces, and now we're going to put them together. Ministry Biz equals ministry plus business.
I want to start talking about that, and I want to bring us back to 1993.
Okay.
So in the early 90s, Steve and I sent out 2x2 by the Lord to reach people. We were both church planters. And we saw some of the downsides of the sort of career path. Now, we are not criticizing this. This is, God uses this, and he used it in a powerful way. But we were young, and we saw that if the church was going to be scalable, meaning just able to just go forward with all hands on deck, mm-hmm. we needed to tack more or move in a direction that the volunteer minister, the part-time minister, that ministry was a calling. It was not tied down to an economic piece for career. Okay,
right.
That was a long explanation.
Right.
But
right.
we even, though we had beautiful positions,
yeah.
we even like tried out going to real estate school.
Yeah, we left our churches.
Yeah,
and we're going to start a ministry. So we didn't have any money. So what do you do?
Yeah, gotta get it.
So we moved to Chicago. Mm-hmm. Some business guy had office space, and he yeah. gave it to us free. And I remember you got there first. You came from Oregon, and I yeah. came from Vancouver. And by the time I got there, Henry had us enrolled in a real estate course.
Yeah. Well, hey, we're doing what we can.
Right. We didn't have any money, and so... And real estate was a business where you could meet a lot of people.
Right, right. So ministry biz are things and opportunities that you can minister, but also you can do business. It blurs the line so that it really opens the door for a part-time career or the volunteer.
Okay, so what's the difference between ministry biz and tent making?
It seems like if I think about tent making, commonly understood, it would be you get a job so you can than be a minister on Sunday. So you get a job so you can be a volunteer minister. So the job pays for your livelihood, and then you can preach on Sunday. But so often they're separated.
Yeah, they're just two separated things. You take a job maybe that isn't full-time but makes a lot of money, so you can make the money over here and do the ministry over there. And I think that's typically how we thought of Paul, right?
Right.
The whole tent-making thing comes from Paul, who made tents. He wanted to do his ministry for free. He right. wanted that witness.
Isn't that in the Bible that way, though? I mean, he is a tent maker. It says he's a tent maker.
Yeah, and he wanted to offer ministry for free. He didn't want money to get in the way.
But really, when you say ministry biz, was there a connection there?
Traditionally, I think we've thought of tent making as those are two separate things.
Right.
You do work over here, you get paid, and then with your free time, you do the ministry. But if you read, there's only a couple passages that talk about Paul as a tent maker.
Right.
And let's look at one of them.
Acts 18:1-3. After this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. There he met a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had ordered all the Jews to leave Rome. Paul went to see them, and because he was a tent maker, as they were, he stayed and worked with them.
As they were.
Boy, you can imagine that, just a little difference with a little different nuance there.
Yeah. That somehow, I mean, it doesn't seem like Paul was doing the tent making and then doing ministry somewhere else. Aquila and Priscilla were tent makers, and they became powerful followers of Christ, leaders in the young churches that are growing. And Paul met them at the tent making.
Yeah, so you're picturing them sewing tents and they're talking, and then Paul maybe brings up Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus rose from the dead and he ascended on high and he met me on the road to Damascus. Paul may have gave his testimony while
right,
he's doing
right,
that.
Right. So the tent making and the ministry weren't in separate places. They were in the same place.
Right.
And that's really what ministry biz is all about. It's about doing certain kinds of businesses that actually blur the line between making a living and doing ministry.
Now, I want to take us back to the 1990s again. Some of these ideas we thought about and prayed about in the early 1990s and tried some things like religious schools and whatnot. But in some ways, I believe today is the time for blurring the lines. Why do you think that is?
I don't know. Well, you mentioned it. Why do you think it is?
Well, back then, I thought the boxes were more clear. You
right,
were a minister,
right.
Or you were bivocational in a separated place.
Or you were just in business alone.
Or you were in business alone.
And then people were, I think, trying to be a witness, the best witness that they could be in their business. But generally, when people went to the workplace, they didn't think of that as their ministry.
Right. And even with the ordination program at Christian Leaders Alliance, where as a volunteer, you can be ordained, licensed or ordained, you can, in a sense, blur that a little bit because you might have a corporate job, but if people know that you are ordained
right.
and trained
right.
and credible,
right.
the lines are being blurred a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, if you work for Facebook, for example, and you wear your clergy shirt to work, little by little, you become the chaplain of Facebook.
Right. And as people have a spiritual issue, they start seeing, you know, I need answers. And many of them have gone to some New Age options. They've gone through some other things.
Right.
And they didn't satisfy. And here they know, well, you're like a Christian minister or a licensed minister. You know, maybe they want to go to you and talk with you. And back in the 90s, the reason I brought that up, and I kind of surprised you before I grant you that, but it sort of popped in my mind. But I do remember the lines were very drawn.
Yep.
And you didn't, go out of the lines very much without having a lot of headwind against you.
Right. So why bother with this? I mean, why ministry biz? And I think there's at least a couple of reasons.
Okay.
One, you have to make a living.
Yeah, that is a reality, isn't it? Yeah.
Two, why not make a living with a business that is also a ministry?
Hmm. So maybe we rethink opportunities.
Right. Rethink, you know, how business and ministry go together. Instead of keeping them separate, maybe we should start thinking about how they can go together.
Right. And just be bold and audacious in this and say, we want this. And not everybody's going to go for it.
No, no. I think, too, maybe we've separated ministry from most of life, right? I mean, sometimes people think about church and Christianity is a Sunday thing.
Right.
And then real life is Monday through Saturday, as if these
secular
things are separated from each other. And really, we are Christian leaders no matter where we go, no matter what we do. And so maybe this emphasis on blurring the lines is really the direction that we need to go.
Right, right. And it would really free people up. I remember many ministers, in career ministers, in our 30-some years of doing this, where they almost became like cats at the zoo, where they were so career-oriented, and the people were the sort of problem, and their ministry, and then they had fights with their elders, because the elders were all trying to manage the minister, that they would almost be like, they'd come in and almost hide out at times, and very dysfunctional. Honestly, there were some situations where they felt so trapped, and their prophetic voice was so limited.
Right. That, you know, the elephant in the room often is, if I'm a full-time minister and the church is paying me, and my job, according to Ephesians 4, is to equip the saints for ministry, but they're paying me, they think I am being paid to do the ministry.
Yes.
We're paying you to do the ministry.
You do evangelism.
And you keep,
I don't have to.
You keep trying to get us to do it.
Right.
That's your job. We don't get paid. I have a full-time job.
We're spectators. You're the player.
Yeah. And so in some ways, it's really hard to overcome that.
Yeah.
So
Paul had that problem.
He did.
I think he noticed it, too.
And I think maybe that was one of the reasons why he decided to be a tent maker. I'm going to do my ministry biz, and no one can accuse me of being not in the real world. I'm working hard, and so please join me in working hard. And I know you have a job. I have a job, too.
Right. Right.
So we're in this together. I'm not like separated from you. We're on the same team. Because I think, you know, when you're a full-time minister, a lot of times you feel sort of isolated. A lot of ministers feel isolated. They feel out of touch with people. And the people often feel that too. I mean, that they're not into the real world. I mean, if you traditionally, you know, we went to college for 4 years. We went to seminary for 4 years. In other words, we were taken out of real life for 8 years.
Right.
And then we come in to lead a group of people. And we're like these strange people that are not connected to life. That's one of the benefits of Christian Leaders Institute. You don't have to get out of the real world.
Right.
You're taking classes as you do the things you normally did.
Yes. You know, I think, too, a lot of the ministers, because they're not in real life, it changes who they are, too. Where it almost, in many traditions, and I mean our own tradition growing up, the minister was called the dominie. So they, on the other side, they feel sort of like rent a minister. But on the other side, they can almost get into an ivory tower.
Right.
So they're almost, and some people put them so much on a pedestal. Yeah. And we see that, too, with so many ministers today who have fallen.
Right.
They're on a pedestal, and, you know, and they preach so well, and their ministry is so effective. And thousands of people, you know, call them Papa, you know, call them minister. And then what happens, it almost creates a place where Satan gets involved, where everything creates sort of a professionalism and so that's the other side too. Now, again, having said all this, understand our heart. We're not criticizing career ministers. In fact, many of you are going to be career ministers. That's going to be your calling. You'll be paid. We are in ministry, and our salaries come out of our ministry biz that shades more on the ministry side right now.
Right.
So we're just trying to talk about the big ideas, like what's it going to take to have reproducible Christianity worldwide.
Right. So let's give them a few examples.
Okay, we're like waxing on about
philosophically, but what are some examples of a ministry biz?
Okay.
So like number one, church planting. Is that a ministry biz?
You bet it is. I mean, we know that we are both church planters. Right. But when we got into church planting, right away we had to learn how to do things like, you know, knocking on doors and doing telemarketing. You did telemarketing.
Yeah, we did. We made 20,000 phone calls into our community in a 4-week period.
We did too. Was it John Wayne? No. It was a Chinese name, a great believer who had figured it out how to make phone calls.
Yeah, we had six lines or six phones in a room, and we had volunteers.
Yeah,
you know, hello.
Okay, so to mobilize the volunteers is a great skill.
Yeah,
and to make the calls is a great
skill. And you have to arrange funding. You have to get. You train people. You have to do the marketing.
Business plan.
You have to provide the product, which is the service, the music, the programs, the things for kids.
If your program is lame, nobody shows up.
Right. If you don't make this business, it's like starting a business. I mean, I didn't know that. I was in a traditional church before that, and then I went off to plant a church, and all of a sudden I'm reading books on management And I remember getting the magazine Inc., you know, people that are entrepreneurs starting things, because that's what it was. It was starting your own, and your livelihood is dependent on it.
Right.
If I don't get this going in 2 years, I don't make a living here.
Right.
So it was very much like starting a business, and so it's sort of a ministry biz. You have to create this thing, and it's the ministry, but it's also your livelihood as well.
That's good. Yeah, it was fun. Those are great times. Door to door, president of Chamber of Commerce, founding president of a Chamber of Commerce. But it's all because of what you're saying. We had to pay attention. Now, there's an argument some have pushed back on that. Is that too much marketing? Is that too much entertainment? And I didn't see it that way because, A, I'm not the most entertaining person in the whole world. But we're engaging. I really saw that there are times when our program was zero, but our engagement was high and the Holy Spirit used it. Mm-hmm. And often you got called, church plants and all that. It was just talking to people.
Right. Yeah. So church planting is, we have courses on that.
Yeah.
We can, if you want
house to plant church planting,
right? If you want to plant a church, we can help you do that in this type of ministry biz. Now, this is sort of a easy traditional one, and we're going to
shades on the ministry side,
and we're going to share some that maybe shade on the business side that aren't obvious at first.
Okay,
all right. So number two, life coaching. So that's a new thing.
Yeah.
Okay, 30 years ago, there wasn't this thing called life coaching. Now it's very popular. It's out there in the secular world. And we have a whole system of life coaching.
Many of you maybe have taken Steve's 3-credit class called Life Coaching. Great class. It's one of the most popular classes now. It's a new trend in terms of helping people get their goals. It's not counseling. It's not necessarily pastoral care, although pastoral care can be involved in it. It's life coaching, but life coach, minister coaching.
Right. It's assume, you know, you're working with someone that you believe the Holy Spirit is inside. This is a Christian. And so then you're helping them get in touch with who they are, how God has created them to be. And it's basically asking them questions so that they can figure out what to do in their lives, in their marriages, in their families, in their workplace, whatever it is. And so it's a whole different way of trying to motivate and help people succeed in the way that they wish they could, but they're stymied by the lack of support. They're stymied by not knowing what to do. We live in a world with a million choices, and a lot of people just can't cut through the noise and figure it out. So this is a growing thing, and someone like you who has an interest in helping people, if you just took these courses, you learned how to do it, you could be a volunteer life coach, but you could start your own little business.
Yeah, so it could be perfect for a retiree who does not need income, but has a calling, and if you have experience, you put that life coach piece in there, talk about a powerful volunteer ministry biz, or a part-time, like you say, and I think this is going to be a career opportunity time goes on, and as you take the class here at Christian Leaders Institute, I think there's some great possibilities here.
And what do you need to start up? See, it's not, you don't need to buy a big truck and, you know all kinds
what
of equipment.
A big truck?
Well, you could be a truck driver. Yes, you could.
But you could do like a life coaching ministry while you're at the truck stop somewhere in Montana.
Or you could, you know, truckers have a lot of free time. You could just, you know, put your phone into your truck system and do some life coaching as you go down Highway 95. We're talking to Bob today.
Hands-free life coaching.
Yes, hands-free life coaching.
We just want to put it. Hands-free life coaching.
Yeah. Keep the hands on the steering wheel. So life coaching is one of those things where you're making a living, but you're also doing ministry. Okay. Number three.
Hold it here. Now, Bible covers.
Bible covers.
Bible covers. Now, I think we have some here. Yes. Here's a Bible. So, in the inside, this is the ministry.
Yeah.
On the ministry. Yeah. Side. But here I see there's a cowboy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and he's kneeling. Christ Cross Cowboy Fellowship. So, what is this?
In Oklahoma. Okay, so what we do, we have a unique thing. When we worked for the Bible League, and then they got rid of the whole USA department, one of the ministries was Bible placement. And so we have access to the Bible placement. We print up 50,000 New Testaments without a cover. And then all these ministries, churches, ministries from all over the world, ministries to every little niche in society. I mean, there's a dentist, there's policemen, there's firemen, there's a guy who trains horses.
Truck drivers.
Truck drivers is huge. In fact, I just did a New Testament that has like a study Bible, and all the words are directed to a truck driver. So you're going down the road today. This verse may help you, et cetera. So we have all these different Bible products, and so as part of your ministry biz, you're helping ministries or churches or individuals use the Word of God as an evangelistic tool, and how you would get paid is every single Bible that you get someone to do, we'll produce the cover.
Yep.
You know, we'll help that ministry.
Cover on the Bible.
And we'll put the cover on the Bible. We'll do the shipping. So all you're doing is finding out who needs these things and what they need, and then we do the rest, and you get a commission on it.
Yeah. So
and I met a guy from Zondervan 2 years ago. And all he does is call churches, and they have Bible products over at Zondervan like this, and they'll do covers. He told me that he did $1 million of gross sales in that last year.
And you and we have a variety of products. And I want to say something here. This is something to Steve when. I left the Bible a couple of years before Steve did, and then Steve came and then got things going. But the Bible gave you this opportunity because they knew they weren't going to do it anymore. In a lot of ways, this is you've been doing it personally out of your garage.
Yes.
So now you're bringing to our students the opportunity that they can tie in too.
Yes.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. This was a cover that we did at Christian Leaders Institute in 2014. I remember doing this, and then on the back I noticed 100,000 Christian leaders by 2020, and the Lord has brought us 300,000.
I
mean, back in 2014, I thought, you know, it'd be amazing if we could get 100,000 people involved, and now it's 300,000, but we have to update this cover. But this Jesus Bible and other products, real quickly, what are some of the products in this ministry business? I know in the class you're really going to get into.
Well, there's New Testaments. This Jesus, you know, there was New Testaments, but I was thinking about a new person who's never read the Bible opening up the New Testament and like not understanding most of it. So I worked on getting other products, like this Jesus Bible is where Jesus shows up in every single book of the Bible, and it's only 150 pages. So if someone wants to know what the big deal is about this whole Jesus person, in 150 pages they'll hear all his parables, all the stories, where he shows up in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, everywhere. There's just a short couple of verses that help people see how Jesus shows up everywhere. That's one of the products. Another is, I know people have a hard time getting through the whole Bible, so I took the whole Bible and I abridged it to one third the size.
Okay.
So, and then there's all kinds of notes explaining what this is and what that is, so that a new person actually can get the whole gist of the whole Bible.
Right.
You know, before he attacks the whole thing and gets lost in, you know, Chronicles or something like that. So there's just different, you know, I have a 30-second Bible. Some people, like, they don't like to read. You know, you throw any kind of Bible at them and they just get bogged down. This is 30 seconds. It's a verse, a thought, and a question.
Right.
And there's 52 weeks, 52 topics, what the Bible says about this, what the Bible says about that. That's very popular because people, you know, they have 30 seconds.
Right.
And all of these things can have a specific cover made for whatever ministry, whatever church that wants them. And so it's a real easy sell because churches are looking to give visitors, they're looking to inspire their members to give their neighbors something. And the Word of God is probably the best thing you can give them.
You know what I would do? If I were, like, I would blur two of these. I'd get into church planting. This is me personally.
Yep.
So then, in church planting, I would then get my cover with my church's name and logo and all that.
Yep.
And then I would also do a Bible ministry biz. Where I'm shading in ministry completely, and I'm supporting ministry of church planting partially by this, and I'm also passing out Bibles in my community to reach people in evangelism.
Right.
So can you like combine two efforts a little bit?
Oh, yeah, of course. In fact, you can do this with any of the ministry business that we're talking about.
You can even put life coaching. So you're a church planter.
Yes.
Get this through. A church planter. Who is a life coach? Who is a Bible cover ministry?
Exactly. Or you can even do this in your
whatever business you're in. I would actually do that.
Really good. All right. So we have another one. Okay. This is going to be interesting.
Coffee business.
So we're getting further and further afield.
This shades now more on like typical traditional business type topic.
Right. So why is coffee something that we specifically can offer as a ministry business?
Well, I have my Christian Leaders Institute coffee mug here.
I do.
Well, coffee is a conversational type of occasion. It's not just drinking.
Yes.
Now, yes, it's in the morning, you need your first cup of coffee, but people love to have a cup of coffee together.
Right.
House churches, coffee churches. you know, after fellowship. The church, there's yeah. fellowship and people have a cup of yeah. coffee. It's almost like, and I've seen that, you know, it's almost like if you took away the coffee, I remember one time the coffee pot broke. And so it's after church, it's fellowship, and people are going to get their coffee, and the coffee pot is broke. And I remember it was like grumpy, yeah. you know, because people enjoy right. that fellowship.
Right.
And it, now, and as a church planter, it's fun because how many meetings you have
right.
or in a coffee shop
right.
or
right.
so forth. So I'm excited about this. I mean, probably at Christian Leaders
Institute.
So
how did we get into this? Why?
Well, you've seen at Christian Leaders Institute that we are promoting Ministry Brews Coffee.
Right.
How we got into it is a businessman who loves ministry, who has a large roastery, and the large roastery does high-quality coffee. They buy it from all over the world. Excellent company. Loves Christian Leaders Institute mm-hmm. and said, you know, we will give a price for a whole variety of coffee and teas and coffee products that you can both have as a fundraiser mm-hmm. so you can make some money for
right,
ministry
so we,
training.
We use it as a fundraiser for Christian Leaders Institute.
Right, ministry biz.
But then you thought, why not give other people the same opportunity with this?
Exactly. So with bulk prices, so if you're just a volunteer, you can promote at a really good price bulk coffee to a church who wants to have high quality, top notch ministry brews coffee. Or if maybe you want to do part time, and so it's a little better price. But maybe you even want to do a coffee shop, and so we even negotiated with the roastery how you can get rock bottom wholesale prices. And if you buy like 30 pounds of coffee and or so many, you get this with free shipping. Mm-hmm. So we have a class on coffee shops, coffee ministries,
right.
coffee businesses,
and there's and it's not and it's not one thing. It's many
right.
options.
Many,
there's
many options.
You know, starting a coffee shop, you know, is almost like church planting.
Right.
But I read that some
yeah,
people are
read something about
I read some people are doing front yard coffee shops.
So, like little Kool-Aid stands
yeah.
with coffee and
yes.
people come and get a
yes.
cup of coffee.
Yeah, or they set up a little cabana in the backyard, the
yeah,
side
yeah.
yard, and then you know, so there's a lot of different ways, and in that class, you'll learn all the different ways that coffee can be one of these ministry biz.
Now, just something to know: church planting and the life coaching is a global enterprise. The Bible ministry or covers ministry and the coffee ministry is a USA only. And you know, when I say that, it kind of breaks my heart because I know that this could be a beautiful opportunity everywhere. And if you're not in our country, we still invite you to take the coffee class or the, you know, because who knows
yeah.
what you could come up with in Africa even.
Yeah.
You know, but what we're trying to do, it's really blurring that paradigm.
Yeah.
To say, look, all of us are in this together.
Right. Well, I think even an enterprising person in some other country, we could help you do what we did. I mean, I just had myself and, you know, the Jesus Bible. I just
right.
did it. You know, if you're in a country and it's a different language, you could take that and find the Bible and use these verses and make your own Jesus Bible.
Right.
So it's possible that we could somehow get it going in other countries. You'd have to be one of these people that really, you know, wants to make something happen.
Committed to curious doing.
Yes. Why not?
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about what are the benefits of signing on to this thinking in terms of your ministry? What are some of the benefits that you could see?
Well, I think the biggest benefit is instead of that traditional view where you work really hard at a job and then you try to find free time to do ministry, you know, a lot of good-hearted people are trying to do that, but what happens is they spend a lot of time in their business trying to make a living, and then they spend a lot of time in ministry, and what happens is their family suffers, their health suffers, and they're burning the candle at both ends.
That's a good point.
So what this does is combine those two efforts, that the ministry work and the business work are more closely together.
Right.
And so you don't have that dichotomy and that burnout factor.
Do you think there's a benefit for evangelism in this?
I think that's the second thing, that you know, Jesus said, go and make disciples. And a lot of times with full-time ministry, I just talked to my associate guy, and he was saying that, you know, since he became a full-time minister, he doesn't have non-Christian friends. He's basically spending most of his time with Christians.
Right.
In the community, with other churches, in our church. And he just doesn't have the time. You know, the needs of a church can be so great that you spend all your time with the church. So where's your witness? Right. Whereas with a ministry biz, you're out there. You're out there all the time, and you have credibility in the community, because a lot of times community people will look at ministers and say, you know, they're just strange people. They're isolated. They live in an ivory tower. They don't know what the real world is like.
Right.
You know, people that have to make a living. And all of a sudden, no, you're one of the people. You're just like them. And then when you say something and it works for your family and in your marriage, they're looking at someone like them.
Right.
And so maybe this whole Christian thing will work for me too.
You know, and I've noticed we have explored the whole license and ordination track, and now have a program with recommendations, with training. But in developing this program, many of you have told me this narrative, that you're in a work, someone asked you to do a wedding, and the first thing you did is like, what do I do? What do I do? So you type on license, ordination, do a wedding, and you find, you know, like the Universal Church or one of the churches that does this quick ordination. You have a heart for the Lord. So you want to, in the sense you're blurring the lines, you feel the Holy Spirit asking you to blur the line. So what you do is you sign up and get a piece of paper. But in your heart, you know, I'm not confident, I'm not trained. But the other option is, you know, 7 years of seminary, 4 years of training. That option is not going to be before you.
Right.
And then somehow you found out about Christian Leaders Institute, and you found out about the ordination opportunity, and all of a sudden it starts opening the door. So now thousands have participated in that. So at that level, even if you're not going to create one of these businesses, mm-hmm. and you're at a business, traditional business, you could become licensed or ordained. And I guess maybe kind of to end this, it really is in the word ministry biz, it's ministry is our business.
Yeah, no matter what you do.
Whatever you do,
right.
Ministry is our business, because Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, and He is the only hope for this world. And He is the light and the truth, the way, and we are His agents, and that's what it means to be a minister. So, I don't know, is there anything else we have forgotten in this presentation to mention?
Well, we'll get to it all, right?
Okay, I guess so.
Yeah.
So, stay on board.
Yep.
God has a plan for your life, and we are excited to be part of that.